January 21st, 2020, Brachot Daf Kaf. Okay, we're going to start Yotet Amud Beit. Where do we get to? Yeah, you shouldn't laugh at somebody for saying Kavod HaBriot is Docha Lota Se Sheva Torah. Kavod HaBriot, the honor, the dignity of human beings is more important than a negative commandment of the Torah. So the Gemara says, well, that's Lotasser, well, I mean, rabbinically, the lotasser, and he laughed at him. He said, "Don't laugh." All rabbinic prohibitions are nismach, are pegged, let's say, to the prohibition of lotasser. Okay, and because of kavod habriot, we allow one to violate a rabbinic prohibition. Okay, toshma. We're about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. Toshma, maybe a little less. Bitalamta mehem, you shall ignore it. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, "Pa'amim she'atam mitalem mehem." There are times we just started. There are times when you can ignore it, a lost object. "Pa'amim she'ainatam mitalem mehem," and times you're not allowed to ignore a lost object. Now we assume you're never allowed to ignore a lost object. The Gemara is going to say, "Ha ketzad? How does that work? Aren't they al brachot?" No. Okay. "Im haya kohen v'hu bebeit hakvarot." He's a kohen and he's in the cemetery, so he doesn't have to go. Osha, who's a cane, he's an older person, vein olifik photo, to bend down to pick up 25 cents or to go, it's pashnish. Really, the argument, he wouldn't do it for his own aveda. In other words, it's not that he wouldn't do it if he lost his own object, so we're going to make him do it for somebody else. Osha, ita melachto merupa, he makes $500 an hour as a lawyer, and the lost object is only worth $100, and he's going to take an hour to give it back. So again, he wouldn't do it if it's himself, so he can ignore the lost object. That's an important halacha. Lekach ne'amar v'italamta. And therefore the Torah says, you can ignore it. Pretend you don't see it. Amai, how can you say that? Lema ein chachma v'ein tumla v'ein etzel neged Hashem. There's no wisdom and knowledge and advice against God. Who cares about all these things? God says to do it, you got to do it. Shani hatam dechti v'italamta mehem. No, the Torah, in writing the language, v'italamta mehem, is telling you there are times you're allowed to do such thing. V'lig mor mineh. So why don't we learn from there to all prohibitions? V'lig mor mineh for kilayim. That kilayim, that you shouldn't rip off the guy wearing kilayim on the street, because that's not kavod habriyot. And yet we insist on taking off the clothes. So Gemara says, isur mimamona lo yalfinam. You can't learn with money to prohibitions. Why? What's probably the logic? I assume the logic is when it comes to money, you can do whatever you want with your money. The Torah says, I have to pay every day. You say, you can pay me every month. That's fine. Torah says, I broke your window. I owe money. You say, nah, don't pay me. It was an accident. But we can't say, you know, let's not keep kosher. You agree to eat McDonald's? I'll agree to eat McDonald's. Let's go. It doesn't work that way. In other words, they're fixed issuring. That's what I'm assuming. So just because something's allowed in the realm of mamonos doesn't mean it's allowed in the realm of iser v'heter, in ritual law. Okay. Still, even though I don't know that he would want me not to give his lost object, so we can be more lenient in monetary law. Tashma, five lines from the bottom. Ulachoto. This is talking about a nazir. So a nazir is not allowed to be matame la aviv limo la achiv ulachoto. Not for his father, not for his mother, not for his brother, not for his sister. So why do you have to tell us all that? Just tell us he's not allowed to be matame, and they're included. The brother, father, everybody's included. So lachoto matamut lomar. So what's this extra one teaching us? So the Rashi explains, Aviv teaches us a make mitzvah, he can be tameh. Imo teaches us what? He's a nazir on the kohen, he can be metameh. And Achi teaches a nazir in the kohen gadol, he can be metameh. So what is left for lachoto? Mato mudomar. Haresha yaholech lishchod et pischo, a person going to shach to korban pesach, vila mul epino. There's a machloket. Is that the same case or a different case? If you think about it, it's different. In other words, it's two cases. He's either going to shecht his korban pesach, or he's going to do a brit mila. Or you can say he's going to shecht doing a brit mila on erev pesach, because if you don't do a brit mila on erev pesach, you cannot. I mean, a non-moel person can't eat, even though it's for his son. But he's going for that mitzvah, whatever. Ushma v'shama shemet lo meit. And here, Rachman Elisan, somebody died, a family member. Yachol yachzor v'itama, he's a kohen. Can he go back and be metame? Or he's a nazir. Amart lo yotame. Unlike, of course, a kohen can be metame, but a nezer can't. Yachor k'shem sheino metame lahem. So the same way he can't go back and be metame for his relatives, kachay no metame lemek mitzvah. So maybe if he finds a body in the street, the make mitzvah means there's a body there you have to bury. So the halacha is a kohen and a nazir are allowed to be metami for that. Talmud lomar lachoto. Lachotohu deino metami. He's not allowed to become tami for his sister, top of kaf amud aleph. Ava metamehu lemake mitzvah. But he can be metami for a make mitzvah. Amai, why? That's not right. It's against the Torah. And lema etuna enchokma being tumavene it's only get Hashem shani hatam dechtiv lachoto. Okay, that's again the pasuk is alluding to it. The league marmine. So why don't we learn here to all cases like kilaim and shuk? The answer is a little bit hard to understand. The Gemara says shevi altas says shani. Shevi altas says shani means the way Rashi explains it means we know there's a difference between actively doing a prohibition and passively doing a prohibition. So the rabbis are allowed to uproot an active as passive idea. Don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos. So for a kavod habriyot, the rabbis can violate an asay ashvith with shevi al taseh. But if it's a kumba asay, they can't violate that. Okay, so what does that have to do with kilayim? Yeah, that's a kumba asay. So that can't be violated for kavod habriyot. That's I think how Rashi learns the Gemara that Lord I'll make mitzvah nechtav. Yeah, Hashem revei the pesach choy Yisrael lemar etzal kavod habriyot nitnu lidchot. Made beishivitot yitchah mitzvah. Well, kilaim the masay etav yitchah hizir basar tov. That you're actively violating when your person's walking mikilaim. So that would not be nitcheh for. Kavod habriyot, but okay, this is an important halakhic topic. When do you allow kavod habriyot to be doche a mitzvah in the Torah? Okay, Amar le Rav Papa Labai, just at the two dots, top of Kaf Amud Aleph. Rav Papa says Abai, Maishna Rishonim. This is an interesting mark. We have to see what does that have to do with anything. What is why Rav Papa asks Abai? Abai is the fourth generation of Amoraim, so it's a little bit later. So a little bit later, so that's Maishna Rishonim. I don't know exactly who they are. The early authorities, the Itrachesh Lehunisa. Miracles happen for them. Umaishnan Anan, the Lo Mitrachesh Lehunisa. Miracles don't happen for us. Imishum Tinuye. Now, this is fascinating. If you're going to tell me because they were more learned than we are, you're wrong. We're more learned than they are. Vishnei de Rav Yehuda, in the time of Rav Yehuda, I guess Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, I'm a Rav. So, Two generations ago, Kule Tanai bin Ezekin Havi, they just learned the Bavas. Bava Kamava, that's actually, I think, what Rashi says. They just learned the Nezikin, Bitlata Bave Shalano. I don't know if it was quite formed the way we have it, but that's all they learned. Like they learned today in yeshivas, that's all they learned. They don't learn Moed, not that stuff. But Ana Kamat Nitin, she said, you know, Yesidra, we learned the entire gambit. We learned Daf Yomi. We cover it all. So we're more learned than they are. So don't tell me they're more learned. This idea of Nikat Nuhat Dorot, and I didn't hold from that. That's a later idea. V'chi have mate Rav Yehuda b'Uksin. And when Rav Yehuda was learning Uksin, Uksin is the last Masechet in Shas. There's a whole story in Horius there. They wanted to trick Rav and Gamliel. Right, they wanted to trick from Shimon Gamliel. So the two rabbis made up a whole plan. We're going to show he's an Am Aretz. So we're going to ask him questions on Uksin, and somebody got wind of it and told him in advance. So he learned Uksin the night before. It was one of these like fasting stories where one rabbi wants to embarrass the other. And that's the end of Horius, the interesting like story. So here, Rav Yehuda, when he came to an Uksin, Ha'isha Shekoveshet Yerek Bekteira. So that's with Tum of Tahara. How much is Tameh? What isn't Tameh? So a woman is cooking with a fruit, whatever. A vegetable in her pot, in the Ramelay Zaitim Shekav Shubiter Famer, olives, and when cooking in their oils and stuff, Tahorim. And they were, so what's Tahor, what's Tameh? They were learning all the halakhas. If it is the leaf, is the leaf connected to the stem? What's Tahor and Tameh? So Amar, so Rabbi Yudin, when he learned this, says, you know what, this is not for me. Havayas the Rav Shmuel Kachazina Hacha. This is like as hard as the We introduced the Havaita by Rava, because but Abai and Rava weren't alive yet, so he couldn't have said that. So these are as difficult as the Rav Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was a student of both Rav and Shmuel. So this is like, oh my God, this is heavy duty. So I don't know what's flying. Kachazinan, hacha. Ba'ana, kamatnitim bitluksin, but we, Abai, when we learned uksin, tlesar mitifta. We learned it 13 ways. Rashi says, like all the brightod and all the different, 13 biyud gimel panim. We learned it, so we're way better than those early generations. So why do they get miracles and we don't? It's like a fascinating question. Ve'ilu and yet Rav Yehuda ki has shalim chad mesane. When he took off one shoe, that's all. All he had to do was take out his shoes. I don't know why that's the siman. Saying I'm a shoe for the fast, and he's mourning, and it would rain. He didn't do anything. Ate matra, and it would start to rain. But anan, kamet sari nafshayna. We have to fast, and nothing happens. Umet saveach katzafkin, and we cry out to God, and we yell and scream. The late mishkach, but nobody cares. God doesn't care. So what? Why are they better? Amrale kamai. It doesn't go by how much you learn. It has to do with how dedicated you are to God. That first generation, they were pious people. Like in Chaim Soloveitchik's article, I hope people are reading, they read the last issue in Tradition, 25-year review of Chaim Soloveitchik's article. And who's seen it? Nobody's seen it. Who read the original article, Rupture and Reconstruction? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
We'll have to fill you in after.
He spoke once at UFT. I don't know if you were there.
I was there when he spoke at Sher Shemaim after the article came out. He spoke at Sher Shemaim and somebody asked him a question, he refused to answer it.
Clearly that you read the article and he gave him heck.
No, and he wouldn't answer the question. There were two people. One, and then somebody asked a question, it's in the footnotes. Okay. you don't know a footnote in the article? No, we were instructed to read the article. Yeah. So he wrote this amazing article. It's like the seminal article on the development of Orthodoxy. It's like, so 25 years later now, Tradition Magazine, it just came out a few weeks ago, read a whole, they have 17 people writing reflections on his article. So one of his points of his article is our generation is much more learned. Everybody knows that. We're much more learned than parents and grandparents as a whole. But he said we're much less pious. And he said one of the examples he gave is that he grew up in Boston. He grew up in Boston. He grew up in Soloveitchik's home, like he's the son of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he grows up in Boston. He said most of the people in shul were not religious. They drove to shul on Shabbos. They didn't keep kosher. But on Yom Kippur, you could feel the Yiras Hashem. They knew mi yichem mi yamut. And then he was in Punovich for a year. They're learning Yomam v'Layah, the 24 hours, didn't feel anything. Didn't feel it. He said they replaced Yirat Hashem with Yirat the Shulchan Aruch. I think that's the expression he uses. Anyways, it's a fascinating article. So that's Kamasri Nafshe Kedusha Hashem. They were very willing to sacrifice themselves for Kedusha. But the example they're going to give is a strange example. But okay, we'll get to the principle. Ana lo masrinam. We're a bunch of lazy bums. We want to watch the basketball game. We're not moser nefesh. We like want it life easy. We got all the conveniences of life. Ana lo kamasrinam nafshana kedushem. What's the example? So that's unbelievable. He had the Rav Ada Achbar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava chaziala hikutit. A non-Jewish woman. Dahave levisha karbalta. Bishuka. What's karbalta? So it's red type of clothing. That's how the Mefarshim explains. Some class of non-sneistic dress. Something Jewish, you know, there's this Jewish woman don't wear red, you know, in certain circles. That's too flamboyant or whatever, too enticing. Right. Okay. What happens if you have red hair? What do you do? Okay. Savar de Bat Yisrael. He didn't know it was a non-Jewish woman. Presumably, had he known it was non-Jewish, he wouldn't have done anything. So he was kam kare mine. So he ripped it off. He ripped off her clothes. That's the mysterious nefesh that they had. In other words, he was so religious and so pious, he couldn't take it that a woman is dressed unsneistically. So he ripped off her clothes. Of course, which even worse. Yeah. Of course. So you'll see what the Gemara says.
Some say it's kilayim.
Whatever you want to say. Fine, it was kilayim. But the fact is, okay, that a little bit easy to understand. But listen to the story. Savar the Bat Yisrael, I've become Igla Milta the Kutit. So I found out non-Jew. Shamaya Ba'arba Me'azuze. Whoa, it was an expensive dress. She bought it at the fancy, Laura, I don't know what's the fancy woman's store, wherever she bought it. 400.
Taylor.
Amrale Mashma, and he had to pay. In other words, the Gemara seems to be criticizing him. Right. In other words, there was great Mesiris Nefesh, but that's what Chaim Sofer, his article said. A lot of people were very pious from that period. He said, like, that's the grandmother who comes to shul who can't read Hebrew. You know, like the Hasidic stories, they're very pious, but they're not necessarily learned. They don't really do things that they're supposed to and not to. So he had to pay 400 zoos. Had to pay a lot of money. Aksuv is only 200 zoos, right? So Amarle Mashmech said, what's your name? Amarle Matun. Now, that's, of course, ridiculous. That's not, what does Matun mean? Be patient. Don't rip off somebody's clothes before you know what you're doing. Matun. In other words, that's what the Gemara always does. It critiques you in a very subtle way. Your name is Matun. Amar Lek, Matun, Matun. Wait. Arba Meyot Zuz, Zay Shavai. You're worth 500, 400 Zuz. It's kind of like that was 400 Zuz when the guy made Hillel angry. He couldn't make Hillel angry. Wasn't that his bet? Remember?
It was 200. And Hillel said, better I should lose 400.
Right, better I should lose 400 Jews and I should get angry. That I should be angry. You know, that the famous story. You should always be like an Anav like Hillel, not a Kaptan like Shammai. You know, the guy coming to the, wakes him up, 50 times, knocks on the door, asks him these ridiculous questions. Yeah, right. So it's a great story to tell, like, little kids, because you play it up. It's a beautiful story. Okay, Rav Gittel. So they had Mesiris Nef, but on the one hand, you see it was wrong. On the other hand, you see God appreciated the intent. And we learned a couple of dafim ago, it's not so much what you do. It's not exactly the same. That's all what God can ask you. So it's sort of a fascinating, so the whole question is strange. The whole thing, like, why they have miracles? We don't have miracles. I don't know. Okay, Rav Gittel, Havi Ragil. Rav Gittel was the one very high in business. That he was the one who wouldn't take the field. Somebody wanted to buy the story in Kiddushin. Okay, Havi Ragil, Davi Ka'azil V'yativ Ashar Ditfila. Now this is a talk about lack of sneas. So Rav Gittel, can you imagine if somebody hung out on the mikveh here at Shepherd? A guy hung up, went to eat his schnitzel at night. He didn't eat it. He sits there by the mikveh eating his schnitzel. So Rav Gittel Havi Ragil Davi Ka'azil V'yativ Ashar Ditfila. He sat, and Ashar Ditfila means even more. Like, it's not like they had a fancy spa for the mikvah. Like, they probably had some water and like half a tent. He's sitting by the gate of where the women are going to mikvah. Amar lehu, hachi tfilu, v'hachi tfilu. What does he say? Who went to the mikvah? Now, what
is he saying? Do it this way, do it this
way. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Right, your hair's not all in. Whoa, my gosh, what's he doing? Amar le Rabbana lo kam estafe mar me yitzhahara. So even that's an interesting one. Aren't you worried about the yitzhahara? In other words, aren't you worried what's going to happen? Well, what do you mean what's going to happen? What he's doing already. But apparently he must have done it in a proper way. Still, it's improper. In other words, he didn't actually violate anything, but this is not, not how you're supposed to act. This would not go over well today, for sure. So Amar Lahu Damin Ba'apai Ki Ka Ki Chiyure. They appear to me like white geese. In other words, I'm beyond that. I have no attraction to them. I'll tell you a cute story if we have time later that I just happened to read. If you read my Daf Yomi that I sent out a few hours ago, I don't know if anybody read it.
I got it.
There's an amazing story that as I'm writing it, it hit me. And I spent literally 45 minutes looking for it and I tracked it down.
Wow.
In Chakira Volume 9, where the story is about, I was talking about not kicking your parents, what we learned the other day. The guy learns and then he rejects his parents. So they have a story, a kid, parents send the kids to day school. Parents are not really frum. They belong to a conservative shul, but they go to shul every Shabbos. And they take the kid, the family drives to shul every Shabbos, and they send the kid to day school. And the kid got, he got inspired. So the kid he didn't want to go to shul. He didn't want to drive with his parents anymore. So he said, he refuses. I'm not going to drive with my parents. Everybody knows that halacha. Your parents tell you to do an issur. Obviously, you don't listen to your parents. So the shaylah came to Rav Palm, the Rosh Hashiva in Torah Das. It's unbelievable. He said, nope, the kid's below bar mitzvah.
Wow.
It's not really halacha. He's not really doing any issur. He's sitting in a car. He's a panjigar. He should go with his parents in the car. Unbelievable. It's like, if I would say it, they'd call me a kofar bikar, you know, so that's unbelievable. And the way he tells the story, what happened is the parents within a few weeks decided to stop driving. They saw how much it bothered the kid. So that's, but it was just showing the wisdom. He starts to, you know, this is how normal people think, and Gedolim can see a much broader picture, can see. So in, the, I think in that, I don't know if it's in that article or one of the other, it was probably one of the articles. I was looking for, I knew it was Aaron Fried, I was looking for all those articles until I found it. So I have a cute story about the geese, but you'll have to wait. You have to, let's do a little bit more afterwards. Okay, Rav Yochanan, Havi Ragil, Havi Kazil, Vyati, Vashar, Desfila. So Rav Yochanan also was sitting at the gates of the mikvah. Amar, Kisal, Kam, Benot Yisrael, Atya, Mitvila, Mistaklim, Bi. When the women come back from the mikvah, they look at me, right? Veneyula, Zarat, Deshapire, Kvatin. They're going to have people as pretty. Rav Yochanan was known to be extremely handsome, as we said. Here, we have a Gemara here. He was extremely handsome. And they look at me, he'll rub off on them. That's also kind of an interesting idea. I don't know what if he meant it literally. So Amrele Rabbana and Lo Kamistavi Marme in Abisha, a slightly different question. What about Ein Hara? Looking, everybody looking. Amrele Ana Mizar de Yosef. He said, I from the descendants of Yosef. Interesting how he knew that. Atina, delo shalta ba'ein abisha. No ein hara. You can't give whatever ein hara means. Give somebody a bad look. Super. So I can't. It doesn't work on Yosef. Dechti ben porat Yosef ben porat ale ayin. Something about the eyes of Joseph. Vamar Ravavau altikra ale ayin ela ole ayin. Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, also, what does that mean? Ole. You can't go up in his eye. His eyes are great. You can't give him an ein hara. Rav Yosef, Rav Chinin, and Marmei Hacha, V'yud Gula Ro, Bekera Ha'aretz. Right, that's the bracha. V'yud Gula Ro, Bekera Ha'aretz. I don't know where the song is, I think. Ma Dagim Shabiyam. The same way the fish in the sea, the water covers them. V'ein Ayin Hara, you can't see them. V'ein Ayin Rosh Sholeit Behem. Avzaro Shal Yosef. Ein Aren Hara Sholeit Behem. V'bai Deima, this is the one I like the best, the one that is the most lesson for us. Ayin Shalo Retzda Lazun. Mima sheino shelo, the eye that didn't, in other words, the eye is the symbol of wanting. Below tatur acharei levavchem, you want more, you want to do something wrong. So, and usually in a sexual connotation, and that, which it is here too. The eye that didn't want to eat, that wasn't his, doesn't mean food, it means the eshet potifar. How can I sin what my master's done for me? That eye that was willing to withstand that, Sheino Shalo, Ein Hayra Shalevo. So no eye is going to be Shalo. So Rav Yochanan could look at all the women coming out of the mikvah. They'll look at him, they'll see each other, but don't try this today. Lots of things in Gemara. Don't try them at home. Don't take the cat. Like all the things in Gemara, these are not to be tried at home. This is just for in the base medrash. Okay, next Mishnah. Last line, Kaf Amud Aleph. Nashim Ba'avadim, Uktanim Patur Mikriyat Shema. Ah, now we're getting to real halacha, like, wow, meat and juice stuff. So I posted on one of the rabbinic groups I belong to the other day. Halacha that I still don't fully understand. Three or four people tried to give me answers. We're going to read now that a woman is exempt from Kriyat Shema. It's very nice, but it's very strange. What do you mean a woman's exempt from Kriyat Shema? So I know it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. But there are more exceptions to mitzvah seishah grama than there are the rule itself. If kriyat shema is kabbalat ol machut shemayim, when a woman doesn't have to accept the yoke of heaven, clearly that's not true. That cannot be true. So immediately it depends how do you understand what kriyat shema really is and what do you understand the yoke of heaven is. But I just want to point out it's you have to be bothered by it. In other words, it has to strike you that if kriyat shema is like the fundamental statement of faith of the Jewish people, Shema Yisrael and Rabbi Kiva, and it's what people died for. I mean, a woman doesn't have to say. Of course, she can say it, but I mean, a woman's not chayav. But that's the halacha. This is not an exception. So somebody said it's very interesting. It's tied into Talmud Torah. The Gemara applies to Shema Talmud Torah. Women are pater from Talmud Torah, which is another. They're not exactly pater from Talmud Torah. They're pater from the aspects of Talmud Torah that don't apply to them. They don't have to learn Torah lishma or not Torah lishma. It's not exact Torah lishma. Well, Torah that has no applicability. They have to learn Yechosh and Mishpat and Yoradeh better than their husband. Hilcha Kashrut for sure. I mean, unless you cook for your wife. But in most families, the wife cooks more than the husband. In my family, it's for sure true. But the wife has to know Yoradeh better. And in the kollel system where the wife goes to work and the husband learns. So, of course, the wife has to know Oh, not much better. So so the wife has to go to kolos. So the husband, you know. But anyway, so but still, the fundamental mitzvah and it's Nani Helfgott pointed out to me. It's very interesting. The beginning of Perek Beit Hayak Korei Batorah Behigiyas Man Hamikra. You see this like tension. Are you Yotzi or not? You're reading Torah and Kriyat Shema. I thought that was very interesting. In other words, the mission is relating. What's the relationship between Kriyas Torah and Kriyat Shema? They're both really Kabbalah Olmachut Shema. But anyways, that's just to think about philosophically what's going on here. But the Mishnah says Nashim Va'abadim Uktanim. Women, they go together halachically, not philosophically, whatever. Slaves and minors. Peturim mikriyat shema, they don't have to say kriyat shema. Umina tefillin, they don't have to wear tefillin. Also the assumption here, if you don't know anything else, and at this level, they're patur, but they're allowed to. Patur doesn't mean you can, it means you don't have to. V'chayavim, and a woman is obligated to pray. Tefillah. A woman who lives in her home, a mezuzah, and Birchat HaMazon. A woman has to say Birchat HaMazon. And we're going to discuss in a few moments, can she lead the Zimun if she's obligated to command? Why not? Okay. Kriyat Shema Pshita. That question is astounding. It's obvious a woman's exempt from Kriyat Shema. Again, because the Gemara doesn't ask philosophical questions. The Gemara asks halakhic questions. Halakhically, it's very obvious that a woman is pater from Kriyat Shema. Why? Mitzvah Aseh Shezman Gramahu. You know, B'chol Mitzvah Aseh Shezman Gramah. Nashim Terot. Because you say Kriyat Shema B'shofucha Uvkumecha. So obviously a woman is pater. So I said, nah, Mahu Detema. So that's the answer. But the question is, Ho will be eat by Malchut Shemaim, because it has Malchut Shemaim, the acceptance of God's kingdom, kingship over the world, you think they're chayv. But don't think that. Kamash Lan, that despite the fact that it has Malchut Shemaim, a woman is exempt. That doesn't mean that a woman doesn't have to accept Malchut Shemaim. It means she doesn't have to accept it through the recital Shema. Right, it could be, right, she doesn't have to do it on the schedule of Kriyat Shema. Right, whatever the reason is that nobody knows why women are exempt from Mitzvah Aseisha has Man Kram. I mean, nobody really knows. The standard reason, because the Abu Draham gave it in the Middle Ages, is that women are not, they have kids and they who has time and they their time is not their own, where a man has much more control over his time. But it's not true. It's just, first of all, it doesn't work in the system. I mean, it may be true on occasion. I'm not saying it's never, but the system doesn't work. But she has to go hear the Megillah, she has to light Hanukkah candles, she has to make Kiddush on Friday. I mean, there are a lot of things she does have to do. Secondly, what about before she's married and has kids? What about after her kids leave the house? So for 20 years, let's say a typical woman for 20 years is in the home, even less. And today, where a woman's a lawyer and a doctor, but so she can't have time to say Kriyat Shema, she has time to work 50 hours a week in the law office, but she doesn't have time to say Kriyat Shema. So that explanation, which was was said in the Middle Ages. Saul Berman wrote a whole article in nobody really knows why. Women are exempt from its association. Nobody's figured out the system and then plugs it into all things. Okay, it's a lot of things are. We don't really understand the reason. Rabbi Shimshon Fal Hirsch gives an answer that, I don't know, people like it. People don't. Women are on a higher level of men. Well, mitzvah association is my right. I don't think it goes over so well in our generation, but in other words, a mitzvah association is wrong means every once in a while I need a booster shot. I need like a shot in the arm. So I got to do a special mitzvah once in a while. The women don't need a shot in the arm because women are on such a high spiritual level.
No, doesn't Brahma say that a few blot ago? Didn't we use that logic saying that women are on the superior?
Women have, we do. It is probably, women are more spiritually sensitive than men on the whole. They have been. Judaism does not believe in, we believe in equality, but not in egalitarianism. There are distinctions between the sections. Even to say that in modern world is like you get into trouble. How can you say that? You know, today we've totally equalized, and that's, of course, a ridiculous thing. Of course, there are fundamental differences, but it's not that it should express itself in Kriyat Shema or in Tefillin. It's hard to know. Why does it express that difference? It's a little bit not clear to know.
The Rambam in Rosh Mishnayot said that the cloud it's not Gemara, it's just the court. It's nothing, just a common denominator. It's not the Sima, it's the Sima.
Okay, whatever it is. So right, so you have to figure out why it's Pater. But anyways, it's just an interesting thing. It's so, everybody knows, like when you're in grade four already, you learn that women are Pater, mitzvah to say she has drunk grammar. And then they usually, the teacher in grade four is not usually the big, they may be a wonderful person, but they're not usually the greatest Torah scholar in the world, usually your grade four teacher. And they're going to tell you that because women are too busy raising kids. That's usually how they teach this. Okay, anyways, I would have thought women's Pater. I have to tell us, that don't think because it has Malchut Shemaim, they're going to be chayv. Umina tefillin, pshita, madatei mehove kish the mezuzah. It says, ukshartam liyarayitach, uktaftam mezovitach v'sharecha. So if a woman is chayv in mezuzah, I would think she, because they're next to each other, we're going to see, and the Gemara and Kiddushin plays with that a lot. What's next to what? What's chayv and pater? So I could have argued that she's chayv in tefillin. That would be interesting if a woman was obligated to wear tefillin. By the way, yeah, okay. What's the pshita? It's also a mitzvah to say she has man krama. The Gemara doesn't say it. In other words, well, why is it pashut she's exempt from tefillin? Because it's a mitzvah to say she has. Why is tefillin mitzvah to say she has man krama? Either not at night. That's mechalek, and not on Shabbos. Okay. Thus, bechayavim b'tefillah. The Gemara doesn't say pshita. Rashi says, why does the Gemara say pshita? It's obvious. So it says you only say that on a biblical mitzvah, and since davening is only rabbinic, which of course is a huge machloket, not a huge machloket. Rav Soloveitchik said the Rambam saved prayer. Every Rishon, with the exception of the Rambam, holds that daily prayer is midrabbanan. It's only a rabbinic mitzvah. Maybe you shouldn't advertise these things, but the Ramban says tefillah and an etzara in a time of need is with a minyan. Tefillah and etzara with a minyan is a biblical mitzvah. That what everybody else assumes that tefillah. Generally, including the Ramban, tefillah every day, three times, that's all rabbinic. I mean, even the Rambam assumes that tefillah three times a day is rabbinic. But the fact that you have to daven once a day, every day, only the Rambam holds is a biblical mitzvah. All the other Rishonim, so it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. It's interesting. But I always like to point out the Ramban, the beautiful Ramban, tefillah is an act of chesed. It's not an obligation to pray. It's a kindness of God that he lets you pray. If you want to see the president of the United States, so if you want to see the president, you can go to Israel and you can meet 49 heads of state, but you can't get in. But in theory, right? But you can't get to meet them. You know, they're in Israel and you can't even get to meet them. So yeah, God allows us to approach him three times a day. Wow, what an act of tremendous chesed of God that we can. It's a beautiful way to understand. It's not an obligation to daven; it's an opportunity to daven. Anyways, so the Gemara says, so why do women have to daven? So one reason, although that's what the Gemara says, well, they sort of, it's not a mitzvah to say she has man krama, because you can daven whenever you want. The mincha marav, those times, that's me the rabbanan. Why? It's rachamim. It's mercy. Why do we pray? That God should have mercy on us. A woman needs mercy like a man. Ninhu mao de tema, so why would I think they don't have to? Tiva erevok of tzarayim, we say in the morning, whatever we say there. Erevok of tzarayim, we daven kimitzvah, it's kimitzvah to say, because that's rabbinic. It's like a mitzvah to say, but we come mashmalan, it's not. Okay, ubim is yes. Yeah, tefillah always just refers to Shemona. So there's no chiyah for anybody to say tzukit is imra, that's very nice. It's a midah chasidut. But Rav Shachter used to point this out 1,000 times. I heard him over the years. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, korbanas vayidemer Hashem Moshe l'mor, that's the mitzvah doraita. When the Shem, that's the mitzvah doraita, say korbanas. Psukei Zimra is not even a rabbinic mitzvah. It's what we call a midah chasidut. It's not a rabbinic obligation. It's a midah chasidut for very pious people to do it. So we flip it. Everybody says Psukei Dezimra, and all the schools that they have to say every word of Psukei Dezimra. Korbanos, they skip. You go from Lola Mi'edam Mistetera, and you go straight to Rabbi Shmuel. You skip it. So there was a time when I was more religious that I used to say the entire Korbanos. For years, I said, the Ketoret, Pita Maktora, everything, the whole thing, all of Ezim Akoman. Today, I don't know, today I'm not so really, what can I tell? So I say, but I do say every day the Korban Tamid. And Ha'ola Kodesh Kodeshim, that's the one paragraph that's most Nezim and Koman. So I say that, at least a little bit of Korbanos. But whatever, Korbanos is important. Psukim, that other stuff, not so important.
It would be better just while everyone else do Psukim, so, you just do Korbanos.
Yeah, that's what Rav Schachter would say to do. That's exactly what he would say to do. You come a little later, you don't have time. You don't say Psukim, Zimra, say Korbanos. That's absolutely what he would say. I'm sorry? Yeah, anybody who learns the halacha knows that that's true. It's just not the way the Orthodox community works. But yeah, we're getting there. Don't worry. So that's part of the Gemara. He doesn't like it because he says Psuket is Zimra. Okay, what can I do? But that's what we all do. Yeah. But anyways, okay. Birchan Amazon, Pshita. That's what makes the Daf Yomi interesting, all the side points, no? Well, we'll finish. We're not bad. It's a shorter daf. I don't know if we'll finish, but we'll get close. Ma'u detema holachtivo ubetei Hashem lachem be'erev basar lechov lechem b'boker. Again, eating is time dependent, sort of. We eat, you know, three meals a day. Or the time of the Gemara, they ate actually only two meals a day, except on Shabbos. What made Shabbos special, they have three meals a day on Shabbos through the whole week, and that's what the Pasuk says, and the night and the morning. So it's Kim Mitzvah to say, we know, of course, the women are obligated to Birchat HaMazon. Fine. Amar Rav Abba Bar Abba, Nashim Chayavim B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. A woman from the Torah is obligated to say Kiddush, a famous Gemara. Amai, why Mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, who it's every Friday night. The women are exempt. Amar Abaye, meet the Rabbanan. No, the rabbis. So it's funny. The rabbis didn't obligate her to say Shema, but they obligated her to say Kiddush. Maybe the Shabbat is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. Maybe that's her Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim too. Shabbat is more important, whatever it is. So that's what they say. So the rabbi said, what are you talking about? No. And he rejects that. V'had Dvar Torah Kamar. Dvar Torah, woman. What do you mean, meet the Rabbanan? It's a Torah obligation. V'od. So why not say the rabbi is obligated every mitzvah? In other words, once you have a principle that if a woman is obligated, the mitzvah says she has man grama, mitzvah rabbanan, you haven't solved any problem. You haven't done anything. Then she's chayvin everything. So if the we're exempting her, it means she's exempt. And it's true, mitzvah says she has man grama, women are exempt, not rabbinically obligated, exempted. That's what the Gemara said. It has to be. Elamar Rava Amar Kra. Zachor v'shamor, right? The two aser that he brought in b'dibur achad, like we say in l'chadodi. Ko sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'shchira. They go together. Shmira is the negative commandments of Shabbos, and zechira is the positive. V'hani neshi ho v'itnu b'shmira. Since a woman has to keep the mitzvot lo taseh, like all women have to keep mitzvot lo taseh, itnahu b'shchira. So they also have to remember zachor yom haShabbat l'kodesho. Amar le Ravina le Rava. Interesting. Nashim b'Birchan HaMazon da Raita or da Rabbana. Which sort of here they're chayav. It's not mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. Do women have to bench on a biblical level, only on a rabbinic level? There's a machloka Rashi Tosfos for why you would think it's a rabbinic level. Let's do the simple one. Val britcha shentchan tapta b'sereinu val toratcha shalimadatanu. So women don't have brit milah, and they don't have that pure mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, Oder Rabbanan, Lemay Nafkamina, who cares? Who cares? I mean, it's care, but it doesn't really matter. We observe rabbinic laws. We observe all the laws, rabbinic, Torah law. Yeah, there's a conflict. You have to know what's rabbinic. But Stam, who cares if it's a rabbinic law? Lafu, so the answer is, can the woman be the Mizamenet? Now, remember the time of the Gemara when you did the Zimun, it's like the Chazan. The Chazan used to daven for the people, not in addition to the people. So to hear the chazan, the person who said Birchat HaMazon, would say the whole benching out loud. Rav Schachter had that practice. He would say, Til mitov lulama kisreinu, every word out loud, and everybody would listen and answer amen. The original practice was you didn't bench. So the question is, can the woman lead the benching? She says, Til hazana takol, walked in perfect timing. She says, hazana takol, and you answer amen. So if she's mechuyav midoraita, yes. If not, no. So EMR Doraita Ati Doraita Mafik Doraita. So the woman's obligated the same level as the man, for sure you can do it. EMR Durabanan Havesheno Mechuyev Davar. So if it's only rabbinic, so on a pure level, the woman is not obligated. As far as the Torah is concerned, the woman's not obligated. And the man is obligated to bench. So Vichosheno Mechuyev Davar, and someone who doesn't have the same level of obligation, can't do it for other people. So that's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara is not sure. So what's the answer? Tashma. Be'emet amru. You can, Be'emet Amru, like it's a Kabbalah. In truth, this is the halacha. We have Ben Mivarech Laviv, a child can say Birchat HaMazon for his father. Child also is for sure not going to be obligated on a Torah level. The Eved and a slave can say Birchat HaMazon for his master. The Isha Mivarech Lepala, and a woman can bench for her husband. Why? Aval Amru Chachamim. By the way, this is not talking about Kiddush, talking about bench. We always apply it to Kiddush. Tavo Me'ira. It should be a curse. La'adam she'ishto banav mivarchim lo. The husband should be cursed if his wife, or his, why should the husband be cursed? So that's an interesting question. I'm sorry? Right, so the general assumption is, and the Gemara doesn't say it, because why is the wife benching? In the world of the Gemara, why is the wife benching for her husband? Because the husband's illiterate. A busha of a cherpa. Right, men are supposed to marry down, women are supposed to marry up, right? That was always true in history. That's the problem. Like, you know, I know people in this generation, they tell their daughters not to go to medical school because it's harder to find a husband because a man doesn't want to marry a woman who's going to make more money. Then, you know, we still have that idea. That a man, I'm not saying good or bad, but that's the way it is. And it's even true a little today, kal v'chomer ben benosho kal v'chomer in the time of the Gemara. So the husband's an ignoramus and the wife knows how to read. Well, that's not that the wife knows how to read. That's not what's terrible. It's terrible is the husband's an ignoramus. So the wife has to read for him. So it's allowed. So Iyamar Bishtma Doraita Ati Doraita Mafik Doraita. So this, obviously, if the woman's benching for her husband, it's allowed. I mean, it's not nice. For sociological reasons, we don't do it. But that's the halacha. You can do it. So obviously, a woman is obligated to bench on a Torah level. Ela Iyamar Dorabanan. But if the woman is only obligated rabbinically, ati de rabbanon mafik doraita, how could it be? A woman is only obligated rabbinically. We learned before, if you're not obligated at all, you can't fulfill the obligation for someone. But even if you're obligated only rabbinically, you also can't fulfill the obligation for someone who's obligated biblically. The person has to be on the same level of obligation. A rabbinic obligation is not the same as a Torah obligation. The Gemara says, hold on, this, what are you talking about? No, you're wrong. Ule tamech, according to your reasoning, katan barchi yubahu. A katan for sure can't be obligated on a Torah level. That's for sure, by definition. So, and yet he can do his for his father. So, elahacha b'mayiskinan. So why can the katan do it? It's because the father is only obligated to bench on a rabbinic level. Why is the father obligated to bench only on a rabbinic level? Because he didn't eat very much. You don't have to bench every time you eat bread. You have to bench every time you're full. Bread was the food that people ate in ancient times, right? I'm convinced, I've said this many times, that if Chazal were alive today, halachas bracha would be totally different. You wouldn't have that.
If you ate,
I'm sorry?
Yo-Binun.
Says like that, I know that, correct. Right, but I said that before I heard Yo-Binun said it. I'm mechaving to Yo-Binun, right? That, bread, when I eat bread, I don't have to make any other brachas. That's crazy. I eat half a piece of challah at the beginning of the meal, so I don't have to make any bracha. No, because when they ate, everything was eaten with bread. So the bread was the ikar, everything was tafel. So we have all these, like, they don't really make sense the way we eat. But okay, I'm not here. Rav Yoel Ben-Nun actually practices this. See, I just say it. I just say it. But I still don't make another bracha when I eat bread. But Yoel Ben-Nun, he doesn't know from this. Okay, great. I think he's right. I think he's 100% right. That's okay. Katamar elahachem amayis kinen kugon shachal shiur derabanan. The father didn't eat a full meal. So he's only obligated rabbinically. But taka, if the father ate a full meal, or the husband ate a full meal, they couldn't do it. Dat derabanan, mafik derabanan. Okay. Darish. Darish Rav Avrira. Rav Avrira, see, Zimnin, are we going to get a minion, by the way? Chaim just left.
We have on WhatsApp.
Okay, so let's learn until they come. Okay, good. Darsh Rav Avrira, Zimnin, Amar Le Mishmei Rav Ami, Vizimnin, Amar Le Mishmei Rav Asi. Sometimes he would quote the name of Rav Ami, Rav Asi, you can see how they can confuse him. Amru Malachi Hasharut Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is another one. Amru Malachi Hasharut. It's like they're Malachi Hasharut. Why are you giving Moshe the Torah? The Malachi Hasharut are always complaining about man. Like, well, the man's a low life, right? Why are you saving the they're singing Shira, you know? Yeah, halal. They say, whatever. I don't know. a little jealous, or why make man? Ma adam ki yaskarana, like ma katuba techa. It says in your Torah, God, it says you don't take any bribes. You can't bribe God. Bribe everybody else, but not God. They said yesterday, Rahman al Islam, that paper that Israel for the third year in a row is dropping in the corruption index, that Israel is getting dangerously close to being a corrupt country. I just read the report in the newspaper. They dropped from like the 28th most corrupt country to like their low, you know, they have these corruption indexes. So Israel's dropped about 15 places in the last 3 years about how corrupt it's a terrible thing. I don't know how corrupt it is. In other words, everybody knows what's, you know, Finland, Denmark, three Scandinavian countries were the least corrupt countries in the world. And whatever. And well, anyway, so okay. Malach van Ribbono Shalom, Katuba Tortecha, Sholi Safanim, Lekshokavalo, Tano Se Panim Lishol. You show favor to the Jewish people, the Tiv Yisashem Panab. We say that, the Kohanim say it every day. Amar Lehem, so God answers a really funny answer. Bechilo Asap, of course I show favoritism to the Jewish people. They show favoritism to me too. Bechilo Asap Panim Lishol, Shekatati Lehem Torah. I wrote in the Torah, Achalta v'savatu berachta, you only have to say bracha namazon if you're full. V'hei mitaktikim al asmam. The Jewish people are so religious. God is defending the Jewish people. They're so religious. Ad kizayit v'ad kibetz. Even olives or an egg's worth they bench. So therefore, that's why I'm yisapanim. What's the connection? Sort of funny answer, but that's, so it's not yisapanim. Whatever. Okay, let's do the mission. Let's actually try to finish the whole dub. Or, do we have a minion? We don't have a minion. Okay. Bal Keri, yeah. I'm sorry? According to the Gemara, yes. Right. According to the Gemara, if they're on the same level, if the man ate, you can say the whole thing out loud. Today, there's a machloket. We assume, generally assume man doesn't do it. I'm not, again, we're learning the Gemara. We're not learning the halacha lemaisa. But whether three women should bench, it's really not the question here. So that either they're allowed to or obligated to. So generally, people they're allowed. You think it's modern, it's modernish. You know, if three women are eating a meal and one of them benches, even if they're men, let's say they're three women and two men. So let's say one wants to bench. That's modern or that's left wing orthodoxy. Not true. That's more piety. According to many Rishonim, they're obligated to bench. But that's different. Can a woman be motzi a man according to halacha lemaisa if the man had it the Rabbanan? First of all, it could be a woman who scribed me the right. The Gemara didn't come to a conclusion. The Gemara wasn't sure if she scribed the right to the Rabbanan. So if she scribed the right to, of course she can. It's the same thing. Can a woman read the Megillah for a man? Of course she can. Halacha lemais. Halacha. In fact, we don't do that in practice. I don't know how to. In other words, but if a woman read the Megillah for a man, of course the man is Yotzei. I love halacha. We were talking for a Chaim Soloveitchik's article, so I don't know if I mentioned here, right? So the 25th anniversary. So what was, I told you this, right? Yeah, I told you the deal. I don't know how to turn off the phone here, but okay. Anyway, so it was a fascinating point. Chaim Soloveitchik's main point in the article was that the shift to the right in Orthodoxy happened because of return into text. We used to have a mimetic tradition where you learn from the mother. What happened is after World War II, whatever people, there was a big rupture, and we recreated Orthodoxy. We recreated Orthodoxy. Somebody knows how to turn off my phone. Can turn off my phone. But I don't know. There used to be sometimes to decline it, but anyway. So there was a return. Because of the text, so people started, the text that's from the Mishnah Berurah says this says this and that. And so we became much more strict because it used to be nobody cared. You came home from yeshiva and you told your mother said, go jump in the lake. This is how our family does it for 5 generations. Don't tell me what you learned in yeshiva, how big an olive is. The matzah used to be like this. Don't tell me a kazayit is like this. This is what's happened today in the last 25 years. Texts have become a reason to become more lenient. Because people learn the Gemara, they say, a woman can have an aliyah. A woman's allowed to have an aliyah. Because that's what the Gemara says. In other words, texts today are being used to go to kulas, not for chumash. Anyways, let's stop here.